The Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 6. And verse 3 is our text for this morning. Acts 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. We know that when the Lord is pleased to bless his church, that Satan very quickly seeks to take away the joy of that blessing. We know that he is a wrecker of churches, a disturber of the peace, a sower of discord among the brethren. And here in the first verse of this chapter 6 of Acts, we have a perfect example of the workings of Satan. For there in verse 1 we read, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And you look carefully there. And there we read the number of the disciples multiplied. There arose a murmuring. So following the multiplying of the disciples, there was the murmuring. From multiplying to murmuring. On the day of Pentecost, it is recorded. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2, verse 46. But the oneness has gone now. So has the gladness and the singleness of heart, and has been replaced with murmuring. The reason for the murmuring revolved around the money that had been set aside by the church there in Jerusalem, set aside to care for the widows in the church. But the Grecian believers felt that their widows were being neglected in favor of the Hebrews. So the apostles called the multitude of the disciples together and suggested a solution. The solution is there, mentioned in the verse 3 in our text. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. This business of attending to the widows and caring for them, otherwise described as serving tables. The solution was adopted, and so seven men were chosen. And that's where we're introduced to Stephen. Stephen, yes, we do know that Stephen was the first Christian martyr. But let me ask you, what else do you know about him? First Christian martyr, when you think of Stephen, that's what you think of. But we read here in Acts 6 and also Acts 7. Certain other matters about Stephen that in many ways set him apart as a Christ-like, godly individual. So I want to consider this man Stephen today. And he really is one of the lesser knowns in the Bible. I want us to consider this man who was chosen as one of the seven. He was chosen, and then we will see he was crowned. The chosen and the crowned Stephen. I want us first of all to consider Stephen, the man. The apostle said to the multitude, "Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may set or appoint over this business." And here we see that Stephen was a chosen man. He was one of the seven that were chosen. So he was a chosen man. And I find it interesting that when the disciples looked among themselves for seven men to care for the widows and to serve tables, the first person that they chose was Stephen. Because we look at verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And so Stephen was first chosen. Looking for a man with these qualifications, they immediately thought about Stephen. So the multitude of the disciples knew that Stephen was a man who was of honest report. They knew he was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. They knew he was a man who was full of wisdom. That was the way he lived. That was his testimony before men. So when it came to choosing men, they had no hesitation in choosing Stephen. He obviously lived a consistent life. He didn't profess one thing, and then the way he lived contradict his profession. Not at all. He lived a consistent life, and living a consistent Christian life is a life that glorifies God. Stephen's life glorified God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Stephen's life glorified God. And when it came to wanting a man or seeking for a man who was full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, they thought immediately of Stephen. As well as the chosen man, I want us to look at the character of the man. What is written here about Stephen speaks to us of the grace of God in Stephen's life. If you look carefully at the words that are used to describe Stephen, you will find there are five things written about him, about his character. First of all, we see the evidence regarding his character. You have the evidence. Again, we see in verse 3, he was of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So there's three things we're told about him. In verse 5, we're told he was full of faith. Then we look again at this man Stephen and see that he was not only full of faith, but verse 8, he was full of faith and he was full of power. And what a lovely picture we have given to us here of Stephen. So you look and we have those five things written about his character. Five, we know, is the number of grace. And you look at Stephen and you see how the grace of God manifested itself in Stephen's life. And the evidence is there. He was a man who was saved by the grace of God, and the grace of God was seen in everything that Stephen did. His honesty was of grace. His fullness of the Holy Ghost was of grace. His wisdom was of grace. His faith was of grace. His power was all of grace. And everyone could see the evidence of grace in his life, and they chose Stephen immediately. Along with the six others, they chose Stephen first. Like the souls that were saved in Antioch. And we read then that Barnabas went to see them and minister unto them. And we read in Acts 11 and verse 23, who, when he came, when Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. In other words, when he came to Antioch and he saw those who had been saved, he described it this way, he saw the grace of God in their lives. He knew their lives had been changed by the grace of God. The evidence of grace was there in their lives. And believer, that's the way it ought to be. Others ought to be able to see the grace of God in us. As certainly the grace of God was seen in Stephen's life. The evidence was there. As well as the evidence of grace, notice the emphasis on grace. The emphasis in Stephen's life is one of fullness. Did you notice as we went through the description of his character, the number of times the word full was mentioned? Verse 3, he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In other words, he was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of wisdom. Then in verse 5 and verse 8, we're told that he was full of faith and power, or full of power. Again in Acts 7, verse 55, we read, being full of the Holy Ghost. So over and over again, all these characteristics that set Stephen apart from others, the word full is emphasized over and over again. What does that mean? Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of power, full of faith, and full of honesty. Well, whenever you read in Scripture of someone who is full of, it refers to them being controlled by. All right? So the first thing we're told about Stephen is that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And there we see that Stephen's life was controlled, being full of the Holy Ghost. He was controlled by the Holy Ghost. Stephen lived a life that was controlled by God. God the Holy Spirit, without a doubt, when you look at what we've looked at there in the description of Stephen's character, Stephen was a Christ-like man. Because we read in Luke 4, verse 41, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And Christ, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit. The life of Christ controlled by the Holy Ghost. And here the life of Stephen was controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. The apostle tells us in Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And evidently, amongst the multitude of the disciples who chose out these seven men, they saw all these things in the life of Stephen. And they thought of him first. Stephen was chosen first. So it's no wonder that when men were needed to serve the tables, first man they chose was Stephen. He was a chosen man. We see the character of the man. And then we notice the charge for the man. So what was Stephen, Philip, and the others chosen to do? What were they appointed to do? Well, they were to see that the widows were cared for, making sure that food was on the tables for them, described as serving tables. And so Stephen and Philip and the others were appointed and chosen to serve tables. The apostles, they wanted freedom to give themselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 4. And so they chose out seven men to attend to the tables, to care for the widows. Now, we understand something here. We understand that as far as the apostles were concerned, well, they were giving themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. They needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But was it necessary for men to be filled with the Holy Ghost who were doing nothing more than serving tables? Some may think, well, those men really didn't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in the same way that the apostles needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were going out and preaching the word. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. But do we not see? Do we not see here that even though these men were serving tables, these men were caring for widows, they still needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that teaches us that whatever we do in life, whatever is our business, whatever our occupation may be, this teaches us that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And wisdom and power. Just as these seven men who were chosen needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so you see, believer, it doesn't matter what we do in life or what we are in life. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Paul told the church at Ephesus? And he was dealing and addressing all of the believers. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he said to all the believers in the church in Ephesus. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. That's what Paul told Timothy. That was to be his testimony. Be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. See? That's the standard that God sets for us as believers. Some believers set their own standard. And some believers say, well, I think if I do this and I do that and I do the other thing, that'll be all right. No, it's not all right. We don't live as Christians according to our standard. We live the life of a Christian according to God's standard. And God has set the standard. And here was the standard that had been set for these seven men to attend to the widows and serve tables. They were to be men filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom and power and honesty and faith. So it is with us all. That's the standard God has set. So we have considered Stephen the man. Let us then look at Stephen and his ministry. Even though Stephen and the other six men were set over the business of serving tables for the widows, there's no doubt here in this portion of Scripture, Stephen's service stood out from all the others. Now we know Philip went on to be an evangelist. You can read all about Philip and his evangelism in Acts 8. But in what we have here, in the choosing of the seven men, we see that Stephen no doubt stood out. And that's probably why he was chosen first. Notice, first of all, his witness. While Stephen was chosen to serve tables, he served the Lord in other ways. This spirit-filled man was used of God in other ways. And I'll tell you, a person, the Christian who's filled with the Holy Ghost, will be used of God no matter what he's doing, no matter where he lives, no matter what his occupation is or his business is. God will use the spirit-filled man or woman in this world. Stephen was chosen to serve tables, but the Lord used them in other ways. God gave Stephen the power, we're told, to work signs and wonders. We are not told that he preached. Isn't that interesting? Up until this point, there's no mention of anything that Stephen said. In other words, Stephen's life preached for him. Stephen's life, living for God, filled with the Holy Ghost and faith and power, that spoke for Stephen. As I said, people don't need to be preachers to be used of God. As I say, up until this point, we don't read of anything that Stephen said. And yet, we're told in verse 8, and Stephen, full of power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. This teaches us that if we're filled with the Holy Ghost and our life is sold out to the Lord will use us. He'll use our lives. Our life will preach for him. Our lives will tell for him. And when people among whom he worked, the Stephen, looked upon him, what did they see? They saw a Christ-like man. And where there's Christ-likeness, that will always speak to the ungodly. Don't have to say anything. Your life will tell for the Lord. Stephen's life told for the Lord. Looking at what is said about Stephen, there in that verse 8, we think of the words of Paul. When he said, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And wasn't Stephen filled with power, and wasn't he filled with wisdom? He was Christ-like in everything that he did. That was his witness. See, not only his witness, but his wisdom. His wisdom. Here we see again how Satan quickly opposes the man who's doing a work for God. It's always the way. The person that goes through life and does nothing for the Lord, Satan will never bother him. But you look here in verse 9. Now, first of all, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then, there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cretans and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And so there's Stephen, and he's doing a mighty work for God. He's not only serving tables, but God is using him and was pleased to grant to Stephen the power to work miracles, which was usually just given to the apostles. And once Stephen was doing that work, the devil's crowd came and disputed with him. We see again how the devil wastes no time. You do a work for God, and God blesses your work and blesses your labors, you can be sure that Satan will gather together his forces and oppose that person or that witness or that church that's doing a work for God. And they disputed with Stephen, and we read in the verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. We need to follow Stephen's example. He was a man who was full of wisdom. And here, he proved that wisdom when those enemies of the gospel came and disputed with him. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. If you're challenged by a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist or any other cult or any false witness, would you be able to defend the truth? Would you have the wisdom? Would you have the knowledge of the Word of God to be able to defeat them and confound them? That's what Stephen did. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. Peter says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Verse 15. "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." We may not see it so much now in these days, but you always got to get a knock at the door. And there's two Mormons standing there, two or three Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, and they want to come in and talk to you. First thing I always ask them is, "What think ye of Christ?" "Oh, well, he's God." "Is he the God or is he a God?" And of course, there's none of them believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe that he is God, the God of heaven. And that's where they fall down. And so therefore, whenever they come to your door, or you speak to someone who's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or belongs to some other cult, you need to be able to give an answer. Well, that's what Stephen was able to do. He was able to give an answer to those who came and challenged him. And what are we told? "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Now, his witness, his wisdom, but then there's the wickedness. The enemy treated this Christ-like man the way they treated the Lord Jesus himself. Verses 11 and 13, they accused him of blasphemy. Now, what the very thing they accused the Savior of. Blasphemy. "And they stirred up the people." Isn't that what the enemies of Christ did? "And the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." Verse 12. And of course they had to find false witnesses. That's what they did with the Lord Jesus. Same thing. They couldn't find anything in his life like those who examined the life of Daniel. They couldn't find anything against him in Daniel's life, or in the life of Christ, or in the life of Stephen. And so they had to get false witnesses that accused him of blasphemy. And the powers of hell know no bounds. The power of hell knows no limit when it comes to opposing the lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came upon him. You think of the opposition that Paul suffered, being a minister of the gospel. We read in 2 Corinthians, this was all because Paul was a servant of the Lord. and hell was stirred up against them. 2 Corinthians 11. Being a minister of Christ, Paul says in verse 24, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger, and thirst, and fastings often, and cold, and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. It was all because he was a Christian. That was all because he served the Lord and he preached the word. And hell hates the man that preaches the word. I tell you, whenever a person stands for God and stands out and out for the Lord, Satan will oppose him, but the person that does nothing for the Lord, never bother him. Never bother him at any time. And here's Stephen, and he took a stand for the Lord, and they came upon him. The wickedness. We considered the work and his witness. But here's something. Here you have the wonder. Here is a wonder regarding this man, Stephen. Look at verse 15. He's been brought before the council. In verse 15, Acts 6, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. What an amazing man Stephen was. They looked upon him and they saw him as the face, had the face of an angel. Stephen knew that all in the council hated him. Stephen knew they wanted to put him to death. But still, he had the face like the face of an angel. There was no sign of anger there or hatred there for those who were accusing him of blasphemy. He had the face of an angel. It says, looked steadfastly on him. The word steadfastly means they looked intently. The word steadfastly means intently. In other words, those who were gathered there in the council couldn't take their eyes off him. They looked into his face and they couldn't take their eyes off him. He had the face of an angel. When you think of angels, what do you think of? You think of heaven. You think of heaven. And so here there stood in the council that day a heavenly man, a heavenly minded man. Does it not tell us that Stephen was a man who looked not upon the things of the earth, but rather his eyes were on heaven? Accusing him of blasphemy, knowing they wanted to kill him. But there's Stephen standing. He has the face of an angel and he looks heavenward. They couldn't take their eyes off him. Steadfastly. It's interesting. The same word is used back in Acts 1 where the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven again. And the same word is used of those disciples who stood steadfastly, looking steadfastly toward heaven. Interesting, it's the same word. And there is Stephen, and he's looking heavenward. And just as the disciples were looking heavenward when the Lord Jesus went up again to glory. Angels, you see, or think of angels, you think of heaven. When you think of angels, you think of holiness. The holy angels. So when the council looked on Stephen that day, they looked into the face of a holy man. They saw a holy man. If they never saw a holy man before, and they didn't know what a holy man looked like, they saw it that day when they looked at Stephen. Because his face was like the face of an angel. Surely that's what we want the world to see in us. We want the world to look upon us and see a holy man or a holy woman. We want the world to look upon us and see a Christ-like man or a Christ-like woman. We live in a world where there are carnal Christians, worldly Christians, fleshly Christians. When they look on us, may they say heavenly and a holy Christian. And that will tell for the Lord. As Paul said, Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, which after God is created, listen, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness. That's what God wants us to be. Holy men or women. Be like Stephen. When the people looked upon him, they looked into his face and it was like the face of an angel. We've considered Stephen the man, Stephen and his ministry. Now we come to Stephen the martyr. Stephen now begins his defense before the council. We read in the verses 1 and 2 of the chapter 7. Then said the high priest, are these things so? He said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Notice how Stephen addressed the council. Didn't do it in an angry way or fashion. He said, men, brethren, and fathers, the God of glory. His defense runs through to verse 58. You take time to read through Stephen's defense. Through to verse 58. And you will see that Stephen had an amazing knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. Because that's what he does in his defense. He just recites and goes over scripture. And he finishes and leads up to a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. When dealing with the false prophets and the cults, we need to be like Stephen and have a knowledge of the scriptures. You have a knowledge of the scriptures, you'll defeat them every time. So when Stephen closed his defense, we see the result. There was, first of all, the violence. We see the hatred those in the council had against Stephen because he exalted the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 54. Chapter 7 and verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were, as we would say, they were ripping mad. Because he was telling them about the Lord Jesus. And that got them mad. Man's hatred for the Lord Jesus and those who preach him and promote him knows no limit. And the Savior himself said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophet, killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. They killed the prophets, and they stoned those that were sent unto them. And what did they do with the Lord Jesus himself? Sure didn't they crucify him? Nailed him to a tree. And the Lord told his disciples, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Why? Why would they kill them? Why would they imprison them? Why would they be hated of all nations? The Lord said, for my name's sake, because of me, because of me. Nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. We live in a day where there's great hatred for the Lord Jesus, as there has always been. So there's the violence. And then you have the vision. Remember what we said about Stephen? His face was like an angel because he was always looking heavenward. We in the midst, we see in the midst of the violent behavior against Stephen, what do we find him doing? Look at verse 55. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven. He's looking heavenward again. Looking steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand, the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Again, you see, once he mentioned Christ, they ran upon him. Couldn't stand to hear Stephen speak about the Lord Jesus. But there's a man, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, and he looks up to heaven. He's looking heavenward again. In the midst of all that's going on around him, in the midst of the hatred of the man against him, he's looking heavenward. And he tells us what he saw, or who he saw. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now we all know that this man, after he'd one sin, offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So how can we reconcile that if the Lord Jesus sat down and here Stephen looked and saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God? Well, I believe that the Lord made an exception for Stephen. This godly, holy, Christ-like man. When Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing, ready to welcome him home. Welcome home. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into thy rest. It's a lovely picture of Stephen and how he passed into the presence of the Lord. You have the violence and you have the vision and the victory. Once Stephen told the council about his view, his vision of the Lord Jesus, we see how they responded. They fell upon him. Verse 58, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That is Stephen calling upon God, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He really was an amazing man. He's been stoned. And while he's being stoned, he's praying for those who are stoning him. While he's praying, or while he's been stoned, he's praying and he's asking for pardon for his murderers. While he's being stoned, we see his peace. For we're told he fell asleep. That's what death is to the Christian. Just falling asleep. And then he received a presentation. Oh, it's not written here, but it is written elsewhere. Remember what we said? He was chosen and crowned. For I read in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Well, if ever a man was faithful unto death, it was Stephen. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Isn't that what God gave to Paul? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me. Stephen received a crown. Paul received a crown. For they both were faithful unto death. Kept the faith. What a man was Stephen. Yeah, we know he was first Christian martyr. I trust today we've learned a little bit more about this first Christian martyr who was chosen and crowned. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our dear Lord, we bow humbly again before thee. Lord, in the light of the witness and testimony and service of this man Stephen, it does humble us. Think to ourselves, well, where do I come in? Lord, make us all Stephens. We know that's what his name means. and how he lived up his name. For Lord, we know his name, Stephen, means crowned. And how he lived his name, and how in his death he was crowned. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. May we think much, not only upon Stephen, but Stephen's Savior, who gave him the grace. Gave him the grace under very difficult circumstances. Lord, be with us today. Bless those who are not able to stay for the table. Lord, keep thy hand upon us all throughout this incoming week. And bless us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask these things. Amen.